Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor at Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we turn to God's Word this morning, we turn to 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 54 through 66. And as we look at this passage, we continue to look at Solomon dedicating the temple. So let us read together the Word of God. And so it was, when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord, that he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees, with his hands spread up to the heaven. And he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as each day and day may require, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no other. Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments, as at this day. Then the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifices before the Lord, and Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. On the same day the king consecrated the middle court that was in front of the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings, grain offerings, and fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar that was before the Lord was too small to receive the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat offerings of the peace offerings. At that time Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, and a great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt before the Lord our God, 7 days and seven more days, 14 days. On the eighth day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king, and went into their tents joyful and glad of heart, for all the good that the Lord had done toward his servant David, and for Israel, his people. Thus far the reading of God's Word, may he add his blessing to it. As we look at this passage of God's Word, I find it somewhat interesting that, as I've studied in preparation to preach this, many texts divide these two sections. And we need to understand something. What the writer of the Hebrews teaches is that there is no remission without the shedding of blood, and through blood many things were dedicated to the service of the Lord. And that's what's going on here in the second section, even as we see the prayer of dedication and as we see that go on in the earlier passages and as we look at it in the first section here. We must understand that part of this dedication is the very fact of the sacrifices and of the numerous sacrifices, as they consider that the blood of bulls and goats was called upon by God, not to save sinners, we need to understand that, but that it is a pointing forward to what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that through his blood we have salvation. And so today, that salvation in the Old Testament was not in a different manner than in the New Testament. We understand that from the writer of the Hebrews as well. And so as we look at this passage, we see that God calls his people to obedience and blesses them in that obedience. That's what we want to see as our theme this morning. God calls his people to obedience and blesses them in that obedience. And as we look at this passage then in verses 54 through 61, we see that Solomon blesses God's people with the conclusion of what is important. And in verses 62 through 66, we see that God's people rejoice in his blessings. Solomon teaches the people of Israel what's important. Solomon reminds God's people of his blessings, the promises given through Moses. There has not been one word that has failed, Solomon reminds Israel. This is the same reminder that Joshua gave at the end of his life. Joshua 23:14, Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. The requirement of what Joshua says there, the requirement of what Solomon reminds the people of Israel of here, is that God has been faithful. We need to be faithful to Him. Sadly, so often people are not faithful, and Israel would very quickly, within a generation, begin to become very unfaithful, and Solomon himself was unfaithful. And yet Solomon reminds us, reminds the people of Israel, reminds himself of the faithfulness of God, and we are called by that faithfulness to be faithful to Him. And so Solomon blesses the congregation, calling for them to enlarge God's kingdom among men. The presence of God with His people. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to His people Israel according to all that has promised. There has not failed one word of His good promise, which He promised through His servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as He was with our fathers. May He not leave us nor forsake us. We need to request, we need to rely upon God's presence. We need to be very understanding of how important it is to have God's presence with us. Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God will not leave His people, and this is a very important aspect of being a Christian. Solomon blesses the congregation. He calls upon them to be reminded of the power of God's grace, that He may incline our hearts to Himself, to walk in all His ways and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, which He commanded our fathers. Notice that it is God, Solomon is praying, that He would incline our hearts to Him. We need to understand that without God's calling us, without God changing our hearts, we will not come to Him. And so the Israelites pray, and Solomon prays for the Israelites and for God's people, that they would be inclined by God to Him. 1 Kings 8, verse 43, hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls upon you, and all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. He prays for Christ's intercession on behalf of those who would pray toward the temple, not just those of Israel, very interestingly, but that all people, that God would hear in His dwelling place, and that God would act on their behalf. And that God would be glorified through the expansion of His kingdom among men. Something we need to understand as well is that Israel was not placed in the world to be saved by themselves, but that Israel was placed on the crossroads of the world on two very important trade routes throughout the world at that time, that they would be a witness to all those around of the grace of God saving sinners. Sadly, they kept it to themselves. Sadly as well, the church today has so often kept the gospel to themselves. In fact, sadly today, the gospel has become mixed with God will save you if you do this, that, or the other thing. And brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand that God saves sinners of His own will, not because we are more worthy than anyone else, but that we are to call upon God to beg Him for salvation, to beg Him for those things fitting of a Christian. And so Solomon reminds the Israelites that they are placed there to be a witness to the world around, that all the peoples of the earth may know that God, the Lord is God and there is no other. And we need to be that as well, showing that God is the Lord and there is no other among many people, sadly, today who believe something far different, and that God would be glorified. And so Solomon calls Israel in verse 61 to persevere in the duty of service of glory of God. Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord your God, to walk in His statutes and keep His commandments as it is this day. God speaks through Solomon to His people, and He calls them to obedience, universal obedience to God. Let your heart be perfect with the Lord our God, verse 61. Let your heart be perfect. We need to live lives of obedience to God. Sadly, today, the idea of God being our buddy has overshadowed the fact that God is a jealous God requiring righteousness. And that even though, yes, we have been saved in Jesus Christ, we are called out of thanksgiving to God to live lives of thanksgiving, to live lives of obedience, knowing that we don't save ourselves by that, but knowing that without these works, as James says, faith without works is dead. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works, he says. And so we need to understand the blessing of Solomon is not to pray down God's unlimited blessing on his people, but that Solomon reminds the people of what is important, that the service of God, that obedience to God, that spreading his word is important as God's people. And then he reminds the people through the sacrifices that they bring together of the glory of God in rejoicing in his blessings. Great joy and satisfaction is brought to God's people as they worship him. Sadly, the whole idea of worship has become very man-centered today. And Solomon shows us that worship is God-centered. They are sacrificing 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. Enough that it really would have drained the country of Israel of everything they had. And yet at that same time, they're trusting the Lord. They're hoping in Christ, not in the things of this world. They celebrate with great joy that God had brought about this temple on this earth, this place where God would meet with man. And indeed, as Solomon says again and again, that this is a place for the name of God. The temple altar which Solomon had built was not enough. That he consecrated the middle court that was in front of the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings, grain offerings, and the fat of the peace offerings. This offering was so massive that it could not be brought to the altar, to the bronze altar which he had made, a beautiful thing, but that it would not be enough. And so he had to consecrate the middle court of the temple for offerings to the Lord. And the people rejoiced, and they partook of that offering, of that massive offering, for 7 days and then another 7 days. And then they went home. And we read that they went home rejoicing. And we see that they blessed the king and they went to their heart tents joyful and glad of heart for all the good that the Lord had done for his servant David and for Israel his people. They returned home in the glow, in the joy which God had given to them through service, through worship of him. So often people want, when they come to church, well, what does church provide for me? And what we need to understand is what we get as human beings as we worship God is secondary. What God gets is what is important. And so when we have trouble getting up, when we have trouble dedicating our lives as we come to the worship of God in his house, in church, we need to understand who's important, not me. But it is that God is important and that God needs to receive the glory that is due to his name. And that is what worship is about. And the people of Israel returning home rejoiced in what God had done. Certainly, they received much out of this worship of God, this extravagant offering, this extravagant time of feasting. And yet, the center of it was not them. The center of worship needs to be Almighty God. And they went home to their tents with joyful and glad hearts because of what God had done for his servant David and for Israel his people. And we, as we come to worship God, need to realize how important it is that we have received salvation and that we have heard the word of God, that God has spoken to us. And from that, then, we are to live our lives rejoicing for what God has done for miserable sinners. And so as we look at this passage, the blessing that Solomon brings to the Israelites is a call to obedience, and that God blesses his people in obedience. Even in their worship, he blesses his people through that worship to their blessing, to his glory. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning on Start the Week. If you have any questions concerning the things we cover on Start the Week or the Bible in general, feel free to contact us. Our telephone number is 701-288-3265. We invite you to join us for worship at Salem Reformed Church at 9 a.m. at 209 First Avenue Southwest in Ashley, North Dakota. If you are closer to Dickinson, we invite you to First Reformed Chapel of Dickinson. Worship there is at the Dickinson Holiday Inn Express at 10:30 a.m. Sunday mornings. If you would like to listen to this message again or to other sermons by myself and my colleagues, they can be found on the internet at worldwidewebsermonaudio.com under NPCRCUS, or just search for my name on sermonaudio.com. If Ashley or Dickinson are too far for you to travel, the Reformed Church in the United States also has churches in Minot and Anamoose in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, Golden Valley and Eden Prairie, and Hamburg in Minnesota. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be glad to send it to you. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church pray that you would have the comfort of knowing God this week and forever.